27:1. This isn't going to be on the big screen today. You'll have to follow along. There won't be too many scriptures. There's going to be something else on the big screen. Matter of fact, I'm going to make it easier for you to see. Psalm 127:1 says this. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Friends, I've been thinking about that verse this week. And I'm just here to tell you this morning that the Lord is at work. Amen? Don't be bashful this morning. When you feel like giving a shout to the Lord of hallelujahs, you go ahead and do it. The Lord is at work. The Lord is building the house. And unless in our family, in Awana, in VBS, in Bible school, in Bible studies, in our businesses, in our relationships, unless the Lord is at the center of it, we're working and laboring in vain. But when the Lord becomes the center of it, oh, brothers and sisters, amazing things happen. Miracles. Isaiah 26:12 says, O Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for indeed all that we have done, you have done for us. You see, brothers and sisters, when we get to that point of recognize that God is in everything that we do, we start to look at life a whole different way, don't we? We start to look at things in a whole new set of glasses. And I know this is the Lenten season, and I know that I told you last week that I was going to focus on this season. But brothers and sisters, we are going to focus on this season. We are going to focus on God and how amazing He is. But after last week's building fund, the Lord put on my heart these words to just remind you again, the Lord is at work. And I want to give God praise. I want to give God glory. You see, if you're here today and you've been born again, it's a miracle. A miracle of transformation. A miracle, I was lost and now I am found. That's a miracle. That's a spiritual miracle. Amen? If we've been born again, that's a miracle. And sometimes we don't give God glory for those things. And so I just want to share this story. I know I've shared bits and pieces of it with you before, but this is what God laid on my heart. Last Sunday afternoon, I was home. Sherry was still with her parents, taking care of them a little bit. And I just sat in awe of God's goodness. I just sat there and prayed and thanked God all afternoon. And I got to thinking of some of the things that He's done around here. And it is just nothing short of miracle after miracle after miracle at the hand of God. And I just felt I got to share some of these things today. And I hope I got time to share what God has done here, because He has done some things. He has done some things. It starts with me. It starts with me being called to into the ministry. It's a miracle. I'm not the preacher type. I'd rather be a horseback or on a tractor or something. That's the first miracle. What God has done in me is a miracle. He picked me up and brushed me off and cleansed me of my sin and called me to the ministry. That's a miracle. But I just want to tell you a little bit of the story. I know some of you know this story, but some of you don't. And I just want to tell you some of this story. It all started, Tim, show me that little slide. It all started in a little place called Faith Fellowship Church, over east of the Dairy Queen, over east of St. Michael's Church. A little place that some folks were still worshiping God, and for decades people had worshiped God there. But the congregation, it had gotten a little small, it had gotten a little elderly, and the pastor there, he came to my work office a few times and said, Jim, come help us out. Jim, come help us out. Jim, come help us out. And that's where it was, and that wonderful old building that's 100 and some years old. And Sherry and I, we took our three kids, all three kids. This was summer of 2001. We took our three kids over there that night and we sang for them. We sang some songs and they invited us, come check the church out, come check us out. And Sherry and I went over there that one Sunday night many years ago and we sang for them. And there was five of us, Sherry and I, our three kids, well, we doubled the congregation that night. And we wondered, God, what do you want us to do here? The pastor keeps coming and asking, coming to my work office and asking us to help. What do you want us to do here? In 2001, November, Superintendent John Grover, some of you met John. He's in a wheelchair now, but he's a man of God that's got a heart for people. And John Grover and I met in the dining hall. We met in the dining hall. I left a football game. Adam was a sophomore, and he was middle linebacker, starting middle linebacker, and they were in a playoff game, and I had to leave that game that night. Adam was leading the game in tackles, and yet superintendent was coming to the dining hall to have an interview with me. And so I went to the dining hall that night, and John and I visited. You see, if the pastor was calling this hick from leader to come and help, the superintendent needed to know who he was. And so he asked me a whole bunch of questions, and we talked for a while. And brothers and sisters, let me just tell you, the Lord spoke to my heart that night. And he spoke to John, and he said, I got work to do in Motley. And John and I both knew that night that God had some kind of work to do. We didn't know what. We both knew that that wonderful old church and that wonderful old building, they probably outused their lives. They probably had done their good thing. And John and I both knew we're probably going to have to get in a different building because God is going to do something around these parts. We had this vision. We had this vision for people worshiping the God that we all love. And not that people aren't doing that in other churches, but we had this vision that people would worship Him and people would come to know Him and people would come to church en masse in a new day, in a new way. We had this vision in November 2001. And we both felt that someday we'd even have a new church. Not the 110-year-old one any longer, because God would blow the doors off that church, so to speak. And so we began to help Pastor Mark there, and Sherry and I left the comfort of the church that we were in, and we began to help there. And I was still on the farm, and I was still at the factory. And lo and behold, I told you this before, within 6 months, Mark, the pastor there, said, you know what, I'm leaving. Jim's in charge. Those of you that know the story know that was a surprise to me and to the congregation. That's not the way the Free Methodist Church normally does things, but that's the way God worked it out. You see, because if God would have said, Jim, I'm going to propel you forward in the ministry, and you're going to be the pastor, and you're going to be in charge, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, I'd have said, no, thank you. And so He gradually moved me in there, and for a few months, Pastor Mark was there. And then one day He just said, I'm leaving. And I felt that God didn't call us here to close these doors. I felt that vision last fall with Superintendent John, that God wanted to do a work here. And so even though we were bivocational, even though we did live 16 miles north, even though we had a farm and even though we had all that stuff, I said to God, if you can use me, here I am, send me. And God began to do a work, and some of our co-workers began to come, and some of our neighbors began to come, and some of the folks from town that used to be part of that church or maybe weren't anywhere began to come, and God began to do a work. And by the fall of 2003, that little old church was starting to get a whole bunch of people, and there was 40-plus people. It started to almost look full. And we began to pray about that vision John and I had 3 years or 2 or 3 years earlier, and began to pray, God, would there be someplace else that we could worship? And at the time, I knew Pastor Wendell that was in this church very, very well. And this church was down to two couples and Pastor Wendell. And then Pastor Wendell had a stroke. And I was visiting him one day in the hospital, and I said, Brother, what are you going to do for the future of your church? He said, well, we're done. We're done. I've had a stroke. There's two couples left. They're not going to call a pastor back. And I said, Let me just say this. You know how God is blessing us. If you are thinking about selling that, would you keep us in mind and let us know? Because God is blessing us, and we're praying about a different place. And shortly thereafter, my father and Dale Lehigh and I come over here, and we looked around the building, and it was a sound building. It had been run down a little bit because there was only five people left, and they didn't have the funds to keep it up. But we thought, here's a sound building. And so we were talking with them off and on that winter, and finally they got the appraisal, and I called them, and they said, we got the appraisal. And I said, well, we're still praying about it. We're asking God to lead us. And they said the appraisal's $169,000. Well, that ain't much, but to a church of 40, it might as well have been $1 million. Because on June 1, when Pastor Mark left and I got a glimpse of what the checkbook was, we had $71. And little did I know, but sometime later I found out we had a debt at the conference for a furnace we had to pay back. And a couple of weeks later we got a $75 phone bill. And so $169,000, even though we're a year and a half down the road here, might as well have been $1 million. But we prayed and we sought the face of God. And we felt that if it was God's will, that He would show us its will. And I began to ask the board members, and I remember talking to Sandy specifically because we were working together and Sandy was our treasurer. I remember saying to the board, we've got to pray in dollars and cents that if this is God's will, we're going to know it. Most of you know the story. They finally said to us, we want to sell you the property. We finally said to them, we want to buy the property. How much is it? They said, we'll sell it to you. If you will leave it a church and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'll sell it to you for $5,000. That's right. You see, God's been at work a good long time. And we bought this property for $5,000, and we got a loan from our conference, and we knew if we could sell that property, we'd have some money, so we re-roofed it, we re-sided it, we re-carpeted it, we repainted it, we did some work, a lot of work downstairs. Superintendent John said, Jim, you got to have a tarred parking lot. You expect people to come and park out here in the dirt? You got to have a tarred parking lot. So we put in a tarred parking lot, too. And it was all within the money that we'd sold the property over there for. And I don't remember the exact date we came over here. It was the spring of 2004. Say what? March 28th. She's better at dates than I am. And 69 people came to worship with us that morning. There'd been 40 or so over there, and 69 people came that day. And we began to worship here, and we began to have a Sunday school, and we began to do VBS. In the old church, we did VBS too, but we were kind of limited. No water even in the dining hall until you hooked up the garden hose. And our first VBS had 7 children. And last year, we had 130-some children. Praise God. Amen? You go right ahead and shout glory to God. Little one, that's okay. Because God's been at work, brothers and sisters. This ain't about the Free Methodist Church, and it ain't about Jim. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about souls coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord. It's about challenging the church to be the holy people that God has called us to be. It's about God being at work freely in our lives. And He's done miracles. This handing us this property for $5,000 is a miracle. It's a miracle of God. And we moved in here and we began to do ministry. And God began to bless and continued to bless, I should say. Continued to bless. And sometime late in 2005, the board and I were talking. And we got to thinking, you know what? This church is going to need a full-time pastor. It's either going to have to be somebody, it's going to have to be Jim. But we were wrestling, who's going to be the pastor? Because we're growing now, and I'm bivocational. I'm already spending 50 hours a week down there. And if we work Saturday, it's 60. And I'm farming, and so we're going to need to do something. And just so happened in the fall of 2005 that the Free Methodist denomination had an initiative called One More Soul. And in that initiative, they were going to give out two $25,000 grants. There's about 900 to 1,000 Free Methodist churches in America, and two of them were going to get $25,000 grants to help them in their ministry. Brother Dan Rose sat down and he wrote out a grant for us. We sent it on, we prayed over it, and he simply stated, we have a growing church in a growing community with a part-time pastor, and we feel if we were the recipient of this $25,000 grant, we could help pay our pastor, and in time, as a full-time pastor, more people would come and we could be self-supportive. That's the long and the short of it. I was sitting right in there the day after Thanksgiving, 2005. I was working down there every day. I had to come here on the holidays and in the nights and the weekends and everything else. I was sitting right in there on the day after Thanksgiving, and I got a phone call from a man in Illinois. He said, Jim, I'd like to do this face-to-face, but I just want to tell you that Motley Free Methodist Church is going to be the recipient of $25,000. Miracle number two, I call it. Actually, miracle number three. I'm miracle number one. And I sat in there and I wept before God and said, thank you, Lord, you've spoken. I called Dan, I called Sherry, and told him, God has spoken. It's time for me to leave the factory. And I gave my notice to my boss. I've been there 20 years, and I gave him my notice. And, well, I've told you that story already, but Mike wanted to know what I was going to do. He said, I know what pastors make, and I know what you make. So what are you going to do? I said, if God has called me, he's going to take care of us. And someday I'm going to stand before Almighty God, and he's not going to ask me how much I made, but what I've done for the kingdom of God. And no sooner did we have a full-time pastor here, God began to work on people, and the congregation was growing in leaps and bounds, and we were doing what we could to serve the Lord, invite people, and people were coming to Christ. They weren't just coming to church, they were coming to Christ. They're being born again. They're being transformed. It got to somewhere around Easter of 2006, and we decided we had pews then. Y'all remember, some of you remember those pews? Nice pews. Over there we had hard pews. Here we had nice pews. But we reasoned amongst ourselves that the pews aren't, they're not holding enough. We can take the pews out and we can put chairs in and we can have two services and we can do more with more people and we can minister to more. We took the pews out. We went to two services and people kept coming to visit. Many stayed. People kept coming to Jesus Christ as Lord. Seven children in that first VBS. Half of them were my family. Awana is now ministering to 100 children in the community. Many of these children that don't have a church. Adults and children alike are in classes, in Bible studies. People are growing. People are coming to know Christ, and the church is growing, not just numerically, but in our faith. We have seen the miracles of God. And we've run out of room. And last spring, we polled you, and 96% of you said, as the board and I agreed, we need more room. And 87% of you said, we need to have at least 50% of the funds on hand or we shouldn't build. We need to have at least that much on hand. And so we listened to you and we decided we're going to go ahead and start this building campaign and start talking about a building, a serious building project. Let me back up to the summer 2012 for a moment, though. We had a little financial test. We've been talking about building for 5 years. We've been praying about, God, what would you have us to do? And in 2012, most of us know Pastor Salek very well. And Pastor Salek is a brother of ours that ministers to the least of these in Pakistan. He was living in Denver. And Pastor Salek sent me an email one day, and he said, Brother Jim, the Lord has called me back to Pakistan. Got to take my wife, got to take my four kids. We got to go back to Pakistan. We got to go back and do ministry there. And he said, I'm going to need $70,000 to do it because I'm going to have to buy a home when I get back over there and I'm going to have to get established. And my house in here in Denver, it's underwater, financially speaking, not physically speaking. And so I said, I can't sell this. It won't make me anything. And I'm asking your church for $50,000. Some of you were here when I talked about that. Remember that? It was a test, brothers and sisters. It was a test. It was a test of the living God. And I told you that day, God is challenging Jim, and God is challenging the board, and He's challenging this congregation. Are we going to put our faith in the living God, or are we going to put our faith in our pocketbooks? Remember I said that? He challenged me. He spoke to me in my prayer walk that day. And He reminded me, whose money do you think that is, preacher? He just as well have been walking on the street with me that morning when I was out for my prayer walk. He spoke to me, and I challenged us that day, and I said, we're going to leave it up to you. The board and I are going to leave it up to you, but God is calling us, I believe, to help this man. And I didn't know it then, but it was a test. And I asked Salek in the interim, I said, why are you asking Motley, who's trying to build a church, who's just a little old church, who's just growing? We ain't the richest cats in town. Why this figure of $50,000? And you know what he said to me? That's what the Lord asked me to ask you. And I put it to you that day. And when the balloting was done, the Lord had spoken to you too. I call it miracle number 4. The vote was 163-5. Give him the money. $50,000. We serve a big God. Within 3 months, I had no expectation of this happening. I had no prayer to God, okay, we've done this, so you should do this. I never did anything like that. But within 3 months of writing out that check, and some of you wrote out checks, so we sent you more than 50. Within 3 months, 3 people came to me. 2 of them completely unaware of what we had done for Salek. But around Thanksgiving that year, 3 people came to me. They said the same thing. I know what God is doing here. I know you need space, and we want to help. And 2 of them said, I'm going to pledge $50,000 to your building fund. Somebody give God glory. And I look back, and I knew that was a test. God was asking Jim, and He was asking our board, He was asking us, will you trust me? And we wrote him out a check for $50,000, and within 3 months, 3 came, but 2 of them used the same figure and said, I'm going to pledge to your building fund $50,000. That's just how He works. You give Him 1, He'll give you 2, or 3, or 4. When we trust Him, brothers and sisters, He is an amazing God. And He has done miracles among us. Miracles of salvation, miracles of healing, miracles of financial means. And I could tell you of testimonies, I could tell you of miracles of healings, and I'd love to, but you'd be here a while and it's already 10 to 10. I could tell you miracles of transformed lives. I've just told you about some financial miracles, and now I'm going to tell you about another one. Last Sunday morning, I spent a lot of time in prayer. My wife wasn't home. She was at her parents'. The house was quiet. I normally get here by 8 to do some praying. I was almost late for my own 8 o'clock appointment. I was praying at home. I was seeking the face of God. And I've told some of you this week, but I was praying, God forgive me if I'm pushing a building project that's not your will. Because I don't want to go against His will, and I know you don't either. And I was crying out to God a long time last Sunday morning, and I said, Father, forgive me if this is not your will, and I've been pushing it. But if it is your will, I pray that you will show us this week in the offerings that you're in this. And friends, after the 2 services had gotten done and walked out, and the tellers were counting the money, they come out, and one of them tried to pull the wool over my eyes. He said, well, the offering's $2,600. I said, you're lying. I knew it wasn't $2,600. He said, it's $28,000. And I shouted, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's answered our prayers. Again, a miracle. 28,000. We've never had an offering like that before. And our little ones, you saw them second service, first service, you didn't get to see them. But our little ones in our second grade down there, they brought up their little piggy banks. They stood up here, second service. They had their little piggy banks here. It was all for the building fund. They've been saving up for the building fund. $103 in their piggy banks. Before this week was over, God handed us another $50,000 check. This is God's church. Not that the others in town aren't, and not that the others in other towns aren't, but God is at work here, friends. God is at work. This is God's ministry. It ain't about Jim. It never has been and it never will be. It's about Jesus. It's about souls coming to know Jesus. It's about the church loving our neighbor as ourselves. It's about the church being there when people hurt. This is God's ministry. And we're going to build a church. We're going to build a bigger church. And we're going to do ministry here. As long as God gives us breath, as long as God enables us, as long as we keep God first, we're going to not only build another building, we're going to keep pointing people to the cross at Calvary. We're going to keep loving our neighbor as ourselves. We're going to keep doing ministry every way He calls us to do. We're going to give God glory. I told you last week, God has given me a burden for this community, a passion for this community. From Leader, from whence I came, and from Motley, where I am, God has given me a burden. But I tell you what, brothers and sisters, God cares a lot more for these people than I do. A lot more. And now let me just close with this, because our time is running out. I'd like to tell you a lot more, but I just wanted you to praise God with me today, because God has wrought miracles in our midst over and over and over again. And He is not done. Amen? He is not done. He loves people unto eternity. He loves them more than I do. He loves them more than you do. He's not willing that any should perish. And He is going to do a work in our communities and in our midst. To Him be the glory. Now let me say this to close. A very wise superintendent that sat there in that little old place with me a long time ago said, Jim, with every change there is loss. And I don't know where you're at with the pictures, Tim, but if you haven't rattled through them, just rattle through them, because time is up. But this very wise superintendent told me, with every change, Jim, there is loss. And I understand that. And I realize that not everybody's in favor of debt. I realize that some will not be happy about some carpet color or paint color or chair color or something else. I understand that. I realize that some will say, well, we didn't do this and we didn't do that. I realize that. Some may be upset and even say goodbye. But I want us to remember, people of God, I want us to remember, and I want to encourage you today to continue to keep the larger picture in mind, and that is lost souls found. Lost souls coming to Jesus Christ as Lord. Hurting people ministered to. The blind seeing, the captive set free. I want us to never lose sight of why we exist. To bring glory to God, to promote the kingdom, to do all we can for such a time as this. And even though we're going to build a church, I want us never to lose sight of the children in our community that need to know the love of Jesus. The hurting from all over our communities that need a shoulder to cry on. The people that just have scoffed at God for a long time or keep God at arm's length. I want us never to lose sight of what God wants to do, because that's our agenda. What God wants to do in this community. Love people to the kingdom. Encourage the brokenhearted. Stand in there. Stand in the gap, as God called the Old Testament prophet to. That's what He's called us to do, and I want us never to lose sight of that. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice." Isn't that good? "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace." I know having a 7,000 square foot addition go up out there is going to be cause for something less than peace from time to time. I know that. But can we remember over these next months to be of one mind and live in peace? Can we remember the words of Paul to the church at Colossae that said chapter 3:15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Since we are members of one body, you were called to peace. May we let God's Spirit lead us in everything we do." He's already shown us He's in it. He's already shown us He cares a lot more about people than I do. He's already shown us He's called people to be holy. No matter what church you're in, He's called us to be holy people. He's already shown us miracles of healing. He's already shown us miracles of transformation. He's already shown us miracles in the financial realm. Let us live in peace and reflect the image of Jesus. Let us pray for our contractors. Let us pray for their safety and their souls. Let us pray for protection from the wiles of the devil. I just got done talking about the spiritual war that we're in. Let us pray for protection from the wiles of the devil. Let us pray for spiritual breakthrough in our communities. Let us pray, "Thy will be done."